Somehow.
Done it. Done it. Done it.
The 3-2-1 countdown never gets old, baby. You know, tried and true.
The adrenaline rush.
I know.
Whew. It's like we're taking off for space.
Taking off somewhere.
Taking off to Madrid?
Hey, we just booked a trip to Madrid. We're going to Madrid. I'm excited. We're like so offbeat with each other. I don't think we can fix that with editing. That's just tempo. That's just, we don't have it.
But no, I think there's a lag because we're like on FaceTime. We're not in the same room. True. So I feel like even if we were bang on time, because of the lag, our poor listeners would just
hear. We got a lot working against us.
Amen. Amen to that. Hi, my name is Alice.
My name is Gianna.
And together, we are abroad. And we're going in abroad in a month. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Oh my goodness. Truly, countdown. Mm-hmm. 1 month exactly, I will be on a plane to Europe for the first time in...
Since 2019.
When did we go? That's only 3 years, I guess. Only 3 years.
Only 3 years.
No, it just went by in a blink of an eye.
What a wild ride, huh? I literally, look back so fondly onto that trip, but I just feel like I'm so glad that we, like, hopped fucking countries, like, did our own thing, like, really...
We did it all.
I have not left this landmass in 2 years. The last time I went abroad was February 2020, when I went to Prague.
I'm really glad that we got that trip in that summer, like right before it all went down. You know what we're talking about, that who should not be named. We can't even make Harry Potter jokes anymore, you know.
I know, that fucking turf, man. So. Yeah, fuck that bitch.
Fuck her. Actually, I was surprised, really random, quick aside, saw the new Batman the other day, and I saw the premiere for this Dumbledore movie that
I love.
Jessica Williams, you know, she's in it.
Jude Law.
Jude, so many people are in it, and it was just like, produced by, or like, by J.K. Rowling, like, really big on the screen. I'm just like, damn, you know. Power. Nobody cares. She's good.
Is she though, or I just think like the Harry Potter universe makes money.
I know it's all money. I mean, money for sure. But she, interestingly enough, wasn't in that documentary that they did with
the original cast. Danielle and Rupert. Were you a big Harry Potter fan?
No. Like, my friends were definitely more into it than I was. Like, my brother actually read all the books. Like, he was, like, the same age as Harry Potter, you know, when it first came out. And it was like, yeah. I read, like, the
I cannot
first
see your
three.
Brother being into Harry Potter whatsoever.
I know. I mean, he used to be a nerd. He used to, like, have Tolkien books and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. But, so, I read the first three, and then I've just been a movie girl since then.
Nice.
How about you? Were you? You know, I'm a bigger Twihard than I am. HP, as you say.
Yeah, bringing it full circle from, our Pats just getting his like early years, getting the Wikipedia early years entry in the first 3 minutes. We're not even talking about this today. But I read all the books.
Okay, yeah.
I watched all the films. But that's the thing, like, I don't want to disrespect anyone who's listening. I am not a Harry Potter adult. Like, I had fun. Once.
You're done. Your time is done.
Yeah. I have like no inclination to like go back
and
read them.
You're not wearing a Team Hufflepuff. I actually just saw somebody in a Team Hufflepuff. God. Shirt in Old City the other day. I'm like, why? Why? Like an adult,
sleep in
you know.
Dog's
but light. Again, I'm not
sleeping
not
three head dogs.
They're yum.
Well, I'm like, dude,
it's right off the tongue, right off the tongue. This is right there for you.
Thank you.
What are we going to talk about today?
Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart getting back together. No.
Yes. I'm here for it.
Do you think? Basically, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
We are talking about breakups, makeups. That's it.
That's it. That's the podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, that's it.
DearBorderBorder@gmail.com.
Honestly, things would be a lot easier if that was it. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've done a podcast before, spoiler alert, about breakups from probably 3 years ago. So we thought we'd revisit the topic of dating and breakups and makeups in this world we're living in years later and how that's changed.
I think so. I mean, we've both dated in the pandemic, which
yes.
I think we've even done one about online dating before many moons ago, mm-hmm. but that was before I online dated, really.
Yeah.
I was a fish out of water, but
now you're back. So yeah, let's we're gonna dive into all that. Maybe talk a little bit about, I don't know, should we do the game?
Should we start with a little game?
Let's do a little game.
I wanna play a little game.
We love a game. We're gamer girls.
On my dating profile, I put that I liked gaming.
Damn. See, I'm definitely, I don't think I'd be considered a gamer girl, but I do like a good, okay, this game, I'm just gonna say it. I've seen it. I've talked to some people about it. Elden Ring, that seems to be the game right now. Like, you wouldn't play a game like that, would you?
Great question, Gianna. I wouldn't want to pay £60 to play it.
That's fair. You'd like dabble if somebody had access to it, right? And you're like, yeah, let me fuck right. around with some Elden Ring.
Yeah, I'll fuck about and find out, but not for £60 or however much it is. I'm assuming it's 60 quid
probably,
but yeah, I feel, I mean, like, obviously I appreciate that years go into making these games, but I'm like, it's a lot of fucking money. So in that sense, I wouldn't play it because I've not bought it and I don't have a, I honestly don't even know what consoles it's on. I've got a Switch.
I think it's like PS5 or Xbox. I don't even know. You know, I can't keep track of all the gaming systems. I like did consider buying a Switch though, because that's just like a more fun, like, group.
I love my Switch. In fact,
yeah.
In fact, hold up. It's literally in my bed right
Bring
now.
Bring it out for us.
Oh my god, where is it? Why am I showing myself up like this? I was literally playing it before.
You're like
I
sitting it. On it.
Yeah, literally. No, I was literally playing it before I called you. I was like, okay, it's time to put the Switch down and speak to some people.
Damn, yeah, put that down.
Dear me.
We all have our vices, you know, mm-hmm. mine are drugs and alcohol, yours are the Switch.
Woo. Oh my gosh, wow, we are Tangent City. Do you want to play this fucking game?
Let's play this fucking game.
You play games with me? Want to play a little game? Do you know, like, I'm really sorry, I feel like... We're a little bit out of practice. Try and stay on our train of consciousness here, guys. Yes. Have you seen that video that's like, I don't want to say it's viral, but it's like really old YouTube video of a guy like pretending to be Jigsaw, goes, want to play a little game, and then falls off his tricycle? Honestly, it gets me every time.
I probably have.
It's old. It's like filmed on like a brick phone, like, but honestly, people falling over hits the spot time and time again.
I love it.
Let's play this game.
Do you want to start? Well, what is the game?
You guys can play along at home. So, the game is Makeup or Breakup, as you would probably guess from the title here. So, Gianna and I have conjured up each three scenarios, traits that you may find within a new partner that may be something you can get over so you can make up. Or... hard pass, break up, get out of there. Are we hard passing, or are we, you know,
gonna work it out?
Would you like to go first?
I would like to go first. I'll give you the first quality.
Okay.
And what would you do, makeup or breakup? Date number one.
Okay.
Shakes your hand, and he's got bad breath.
Ooh. Ooh. Because it's date one. Because, like, listen, everybody has bad breath from time to time.
Sure.
It really does, you know, swamp breath comes. I mean, like, also...
all shapes and sizes.
I have a question.
Yes.
When you say bad breath, does it smell like he's just eaten something really gnarly? Is it like he's coffee breath? Because, honey, like, I deal with that.
Yeah, we've all had coffee breath.
Or is it like... halitosis.
I'm gonna change up the scenario. Let's say wasn't bad breath on date number one, you know. Okay. You didn't know.
All right,
you're like,
I'm socially distancing, kissing. I can't get that close to me.
Yeah. I don't know, interpret it how you want. There's bad breath involved. You maybe have been on a few dates with this person. Could give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's just coffee breath. Maybe it's chronic. Maybe it's chronic bad breath. How do you approach that?
If it's like first date, you got bad breath. I mean, but like also feel like if it's a first date and you're like, you not clean your fucking teeth, like,
sure, red flag.
I don't know. But if it's like a one time thing, like, could look past that, no problem. Like, as I said, we're all human. If it's like a continuous thing, I don't know. That's a really good question. I mean, I think
playing games.
Yeah. Gemini. Okay. I feel like it would have to depend on the scale. If it's like a little bit bad breath, like, I can deal with it. If it's like morning breath, I can deal with it. If it's like you've got an issue, like, you might need to seek medical attention.
Yeah.
Then maybe I don't want to be getting all up in there. I would say.
That's fair.
Okay. So I've got one.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
Picks their nose nonstop. Favorite thing in the world is picking their nose. Like, pastime. Like, ain't, like, doesn't even realize they're doing it. Driving, watching television.
No. Like, I mean, what grown adult? I feel like, honestly, this question could be, like, a guy who's constantly, like, touching his balls, too, which there is a Sex and the City episode about this. Picking your nose, I don't know. That's probably a no for me. Because if you're doing it all day, every day, you're just digging for gold in there. I don't know if I'm going to be able to change that behavior. You know what I mean? If you're not self-aware enough to know that you're constantly picking your nose, I think that speaks to a larger issue of
you. But what if they know and they don't care? What if they're like, I love it? Like, it's like, I don't care. Like, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed.
Where do the boogers go? We have so many. We can't even play this game because we have so many follow-up.
Eats them.
Okay, no. Then that is a hard pass. That's a delicacy. Right. I cannot. That's okay. A break for me, dog.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Next. This is a big one.
All right.
You got yourself a mansplainer. He's talking over you.
Oh, no. No, he's not, because I've left. I'm out of there.
Yes!
I am out of there.
Right answers only.
No, absolutely not. Because the thing is with mansplaining, there's a difference between I've asked you or a genuine question that I don't understand for whatever reason it might be, and you have an informed, you know, you're informed of this subject. You don't have to speak to me like I'm fucking stupid. But, like, mansplaining is usually, like, stuff that you don't need to speak to me like I'm an idiot, and also stuff that you've not asked my opinion as to found out whether I know it or not. You're just gonna tell me about it. That's a hard pass.
Quick follow-up.
Okay.
Say this was somebody you liked, and, like, you didn't realize they did it until, I don't know, 3 weeks into you knowing them. 3 weeks into you, like, dating them. Would you give them, like, the opportunity of actually, like, saying, like, hey, actually, when you do X, that's wrong? Or would it be early enough where you'd just be like, nope, this is a quality in you. I'm chopping it.
Like, so, like, say I've gone on 3 dates with them. Like, 3 weeks, date a week.
Sure.
No, I'd still be like,
yeah,
no.
That's fair.
No. I would probably, like, make a joke about the mansplaining first. Which is like, haha, this is funny, but also don't fucking do it. But then if, like,
there's
like,
always a little truth behind every just kidding, ladies and gentlemen.
They were never kidding. But yeah, so I feel like maybe that I would, like, test the waters, but if they continued, then I'd be like, no, this ain't for me.
Fair.
This ain't for me. Okay, here's one. Consistently late. Not by much, but consistently, like, 5-10 minutes late to everything. Not like you have to catch a plane, they're late. Like, not like, okay. It's not like really like putting you out, like you can't go on holiday or you're like missing a film or anything like that, but it's just like consistently late.
Yeah, this is a makeup for me because
thank God we can date.
Get annoyed by it. Yes. No, I was like, this is probably you. I personally, I feel like I always date people who are late, or like I have often had friends even that are just
laid
late.
Back.
And I deal with that in a variety of ways, which is lying to them and telling them to get there a different time that's earlier. So yes, I and it usually works.
Yeah.
Because they'll be late but they'll actually be on time. Smart. So yeah.
And psychological warfare. That's what that is.
Great start to any relationship founded on lies. All right, my last one. Maybe this isn't a big deal. I don't know. The only music they listen to is house music.
House every weekend. I have a question.
That shit.
You can really tell this
Love
is my
it.
Thing.
Yes.
Do they like So that's like on their own time they listen to that music, but would they like?
It's playing in the house
every weekend. But like, if say I was listening to like my music, would they be like, no, 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 you have to turn that off. I hate it.
No, they wouldn't tell you to hate it, but they wouldn't tell you they hate it. But anytime they're choosing the music, that's what they'd be playing in the car. Over coffee, making breakfast, having sex, anything. It's always house music.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that one. Because the thing is like, what I always say is, I feel like with the music that I like, there's, like, a lot of, like, culture that comes with it. Like, yes. There's a lot of, like, which I feel like I'm very much, like, intertwined with. Like, your girl's got a Fall Out Boy tattoo. Like, people either know what it is or they don't.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Right. So I feel like
you were a member of the Overcast Kids fan club, or you were not.
Right. Exactly.
A member of Overcast Kids.
Yeah, you were. But it's like, so it's one of those things that I feel like if you don't understand, if you just don't understand me, no.
If you can't get down with Pete Wentz, you can't get in these pants, bro. Sorry.
I don't know. I just feel like there's like. And I'm sure it's, like, same for any, like, music scene. Like, I feel like there's, like, just so much more that goes along with it.
Yeah.
That I feel like if I have to be, like, it might be a breakup. I'm really sorry. Like, if people like a variety of different music, that's fine.
Yeah, music is really important to both of us, I think. So mm-hmm. I do think it's, I'm talking strictly, if Strictly House, that's really all they listen to.
Damn.
It's probably a no. Probably not going to have a lot in common, you know?
Right. That's, yeah. Because it's also, it's, like, what you're doing on the weekends.
Right, going to
house
waves.
Every weekend. Yeah. How many times can I say that in a space like 2 minutes?
Drink every time.
Oh my god, poor guys. But like, yeah, so we're probably like going to different places because you go to the place probably that plays the music you listen to. So yeah, it'd probably be a no for me. Not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact: once I was in work and I like had music playing out of my phone. It was Taking Back Sunday. And a guy that I worked with, like, walked into, like, our office area where I was. And he was like, oh my god, I hate screamo music.
Wow. First of all, screamo?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I hate all that screamo music. And I was like, this is so not reductive. Screamo.
So reductive to the genre.
I was just, he was so like, reductive. Oh, no, I can't. I can't do it. I can't listen to it. And I'm like, what? Oh, you really want me to turn this off, huh? And I'm just like literally just like jamming. Anyway, so my last situation is they constantly steal TV catchphrases. Like their personality is just like Pia or like whatever, you know? Like it's like do or like I caramba and you're or like whatever. Like or like classic like and specifically TV.
Oof.
Like catchphrases. They and like also like maybe try and pass them off as their own.
Okay. Oh, this is
get
tough.
Back to me.
This is tough because I feel like I have definitely dated people that love a dad joke. But I feel like that is different than just strictly catchphrases and working them into your like working them into, you know, your just conversational whatever. But I also am somebody that constantly quotes movies and TV like in a way that's inaccessible to others. So I feel like I'm judging myself a little bit with this, you know.
Damn.
I feel like we could work on it, you know, we could work on it. It's extremely corny, but I feel like bazinga? No. See, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a breakup.
See,
that's a breakup for
see?
Me. Man. Yeah, that's a breakup. That's a breakup. I
that it's
my
like
mind.
That.
I'm pulling back.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. If it's that level of like corny, like, because again, I'm always quoting movies, quoting dumb shit all the time, constantly. But yeah, you know.
Okay. All right.
Wow. That's the game. That's the game of games.
That's the game.
Ellen's game of games. That was good.
Go team.
Wow, where do we go from here? All right, so let's talk a little bit about your breakup, question mark. Smooth transition into breakup town.
Smooth,
so
honestly, smooth.
I'll give a little intro, okay? So I don't know if listeners will agree. I know personally, we've talked a lot about how the pandemic has been, or maybe it's just me, very difficult for single people living alone, people, you know, even without roommates, right? Like, it's just very isolating experience. But what we haven't talked about, which I've seen kind of more and more over the past half a year of the last, you know, breakup situation, pandemic, whatever, is some couples are not standing the test of time when it came to people shacking up, sticking, you know, when everything was closed. A lot of couples make or break, and I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of it, but the more I, like, hear from friends or people I know, there's been a lot of, like, long-time relationships ending from this situation. And so that's what I kind of wanted to talk about. And she's one of them. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, you don't have to share what you're not comfortable with, I guess.
I mean, because also, like,
help me understand, you know, help me understand.
So, like, this breakup happened over a year ago at this point. But I guess, like, what's interesting about you saying is, like, obviously, like, I think it made a lot of people make decisions potentially, like, irrationally or rationally, depending on, like, the situation at hand in regards to, like, living together. So I think there's, like, a lot of people who were in, like, new relationships that were just like, okay, we're gonna live together. Right. That's not what my situation was. Like, we did not end up living together. And in fact, actually, it effectively was a long distance relationship, which, gosh, we were like 3 years in at that point. When they moved away. So, which I think when you're in your late 20s, you don't always necessarily think you're going to be in that situation, because I did long distance when I was in university, when I was at Kingston with you. Mm-hmm. I was in a long distance relationship then, which I think is quite common, like, in, like, university years, if people, sure, like, want to stick together
to college. Yep.
Right. But, like, I guess it wasn't something that either of us foresaw, so I don't think we particularly prepared for it. But then who prepared for a global pandemic, right?
Sure.
But I think what I can only imagine, like, living as a couple, it would be, like, more of, like, a dull ache rather than a, like, sharp pain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, because I've seen this happen with a couple friends of mine, where it's basically gone both ways, right? There's been, I do think it's that make or break moment where it's like, are we shacking up? Are we quarantine buddies? Are we doing this?
Right.
Or are we going to do a long distance for the sake of somebody's health, somebody's safety, for whatever reason, very valid reasons why people stayed home and did not shack up with each other. Another friend of mine, similarly, kind of in the beginning of the pandemic, there was that moment where it's like, where am I going? Am I staying at my apartment with my roommates? Am I going home? Or am I going to try to figure out a situation living with my boyfriend, you know, temporarily or whatever? And to me, I do think it depends where you are in the relationship, right? Like, I totally think some people rushed into living together. It just made sense, right? For whatever reason, financially, right, physically, didn't have another option. But to me, I always remember looking at that and I was kind of like, well, they're not even talking about quarantining together. That's a breakup writing on the wall. You know what I mean? But, like, that probably saved some couples from staying together, because I also know several longtime couples that broke up after pandemic. And what, maybe it's not from, like, living together, or maybe it's just the world is different now, right? Like, you're thinking about different things, your priorities are different, it's just changed our whole perspective on how, what we want, what we don't want in relationships. And so I think it's interesting that, like, obviously there's two different roads you can go down. One is like, oh, we lived together and it didn't work out and it was messier, or like you're saying, this dull ache or this, like.
But then also, I guess, on, like, the makeup side of things, I've seen a lot of quarantine babies. And I don't know if that's because of, like, the age that we are, and it's, like, a completely reasonable thing to expect that people would have babies at our grand old age. And, I mean, there weren't a lot else to do, was there, let's be honest. So, you know, I think, like, conversely, I think it's made a lot of people go, no, actually, I've quarantined with you, and
got closer.
Exactly. Because I think, like, that, with just the way of the world, like, people working 40 hours a week, like, yeah, you might spend every evening with your partner, but, like, how much time do you really, like, quality time do you really spend with someone? So that's where I think it could be seen as, like, an opportunity for tension, or an opportunity to, like, rekindle something that you may, like, just due to the cogs of time, you may have, like, missed out on. But also, I think I went into this pandemic at 26. I am 29 this year, you know what I mean?
Oh god, yeah, I know.
Like, that's like mid-20s, you know?
Yeah.
Which I feel like I need to, like, just, I was in my mid-20s, whereas, like, now I'm staring down the barrel of the gun that is 30. And I think what's going to be wild is, like, when history talks of this time, it's going to sound like a relatively short amount of time. But, like, actually, like, so much can change.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? And it's just, like, your priorities when you're, like, for example, in my case, when I was a student. I was a 26-year-old undergrad student when I entered the pandemic. I am no longer any of those things. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's, like, independent of any romantic relationship that I've had. So I just think everybody's circumstances, some may have stayed completely the same and just been like, I don't want to rock this boat. I just want to, you know, keep control of lots of stuff that I can, or like what I can, like not shifting jobs, or I don't know, moving states or anything. But then equally, I think the pandemic has given us like a lot of time to really like consider our options.
Yeah, so what it is you want.
Right, whether that is, like, again, like, romantic or otherwise.
I also think it depends heavily on the living circumstances. Mm. Like, quarantining with somebody in New York versus a different city, like, New York is fucking small, you know? So, or right. not... New York is big, that's not what I'm saying. Apartments in New York are fucking right. small. So it's like, we're sharing a house, you got top floor, I got bottom floor, sick, you know? We're sharing a one-bedroom apartment or a studio or... We're sharing a 3-bedroom apartment that I also share with 2 roommates. Like, you know, I got to respect their needs, their time. Like, shit just gets complicated. So I think it forced a lot of people to have conversations, too, that, like, were potentially uncomfortable conversations about, like, well, I got to think about you. Like, I remember often, you know, obviously being found out who was immunocompromised, right? Like, which of my friends, which of my partner, like, whoever, family, and you're trying your best to keep all this in mind, but it's like, okay, now I have to keep in mind my roommate's family, my roommate's boyfriend's family.
Right.
You know, it's like, how far does the circle extend? And so, like, I think selfishly, you know, I mean, a lot of people made really selfish decisions, but hopefully... Mm. Hopefully people tried to make whatever decisions were at their best disposal, but, you know, for... I don't know. I just think about, like, that living situation that I was in, a 3-bedroom apartment where one of us had a boyfriend at the time. Like, it wasn't feasible for him to live with us. It wasn't even on the table, number one.
Right.
But, like, maybe if this living situation was different, circumstances were different, their relationship would have worked out, you know, or who knows what. But I just think, you know, and my cousin just bought a house. They both, her and her husband both working from home. You know, they made it work. They're still married. Mm. But, like, you know, she said... You know, they moved from a small 1-bedroom apartment in D.C. to, like, a nice house. And it's, like, cool. They got a lot of room to spread out now. And it's probably a lot better for their relationship. But they also get to, like, have lunch together. Like, that's cute. Right. You know, let's have a coffee together. It's like, you're my coworker, which, like you said, I've been thinking about a lot, like, how much fucking time we spend at work. How much of our lives we spend at work. Mm. And, like, yeah, my coworkers are okay. I'm not going to marry any of them. So it's, like, it is kind of shitty that you have to spend so much time with people that you're not actually like really choosing to spend your time with, versus, like you said, being forced to, like, you're both working from home. All right. 2 40-hour work weeks, like, right here, right now. Like, I'm sure that causes and sparks tension that would not have naturally happened had we not, you know, had this situation at our fingertips.
Yeah, because I think people's, like, infrastructure in their house is completely important. Because if you're, like, 2 people that do desk jobs working from home, are you fighting over the dinner table? Like, or, like, do you have a dedicated office? Or does at least one right. of you have a dedicated office so you could make, like, or, like, vaguely try and separate work from, like, your home life? But then, I mean, like, again, this isn't a romantic relationship. Like, I've lived with my housemate, like, the same one housemate, throughout the entire pandemic. He was working from home and I was furloughed. So right. we had, like, a different day-to-day. But then... Sure. You know, I think some people found, like, particularly, like, in the deepest, darkest of COVID times, found, like, some comfort in being like, okay, at least I know I'm working for 8 hours and then I'll go for my government-mandated walk. Right. even at this point, that also seems, like, so foreign at this point. Whereas it's, like, I mean, I woke up and played Animal Crossing, which, like...
Right. Totally different experiences.
Right.
Like, and not, you know, one isn't... more or less valid. It's like, we're getting paid for a short period of time, and then, like, then you had to be under the line of fire being, like, essentially an essential worker, you know?
Right.
It's a whole another thing. I don't want to put anybody on blast, but I know several couples that have broken up and are, like, figuring out the housing situation. Like, a friend, two friends of mine from New York, like, I just heard they broke up amazing couple. I don't know what happened or what the situation was, but I know that they have a dog together. They have an apartment together. What do? You know?
Because I think particularly in a pandemic or in like where limited resources are available to you, like that puts like extra strain on it. Because it's like, okay, like as you said, like, okay, now do I need to get a roommate where I need to consider their family and exactly. all this stuff? Like, where, or like, do I want to move in back in with my parents, but like they're older and like what does mm-hmm. that like and all that stuff. So it's a process. But also COVID is now over in the UK. I told you this when I go. There is like there is no legal requirements, no legal testing.
Mandate, no vaccine, nothing.
Nope. That's the thing. What was wild about that is like some people lost their jobs over not getting like the booster or the vaccine. Surely. Now they're just getting
it's like they slap in the face.
Right. Is this like a fire and rehire? Now I'm pro the vaccine. I personally have the vaccine and the booster. But then when it's like people who have been like frontline in this pandemic, it was like particularly around like healthcare workers, frontline in the panny D the entire time, now you've lost your job. But also, it's literally like a fire and rehire anyway.
So dating on back on the online dating scene. So you had. I did a bit of online dating peak pandemic. You know what? I don't know what we're considering peak anymore. The peaks and valleys of the pandemic. But you also did a little swiping. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. How was that to be back on the scene? I'm like interviewing you right now.
I know. I feel like this is like I feel like I'm getting a light shine in my face. Yeah. I mean, like, cause I think I mentioned earlier, we have a podcast on online dating. And if you go listen to that, you'll hear that I had very limited experience with it. Whereas now I have some more. Because that's the thing, like, I started, like, was like April? Like, I downloaded Bumble. Because it was like one of those things that I'm like, so at that time, like, I don't know, a few weeks later, some restrictions were lifting. So it's like, okay, so if I, like, want to meet anyone, that'll be, like, a good time to do it. But, like, turns out I met somebody before those restrictions changed, so I like met them in a park and sat on a park bench. Mm-hmm. Like that was your first meetup.
Yeah. It's so funny those like first meetups when you want to be safe and meet in public, but like also there's not really a lot of places to meet in public like that right. are open or available. And you know
what's so funny at the time is two of my friends are in long-term relationships and also not really doing a whole lot because there's not a whole lot fucking going on. We're like invested. And like also like from a safety perspective, I was like, here's my location. And then they were like, we saw that you moved from here to here. And I'm like, you're just watching my location on your phone. Really keeping abreast of the situation and making sure I'm not getting kidnapped, which, you know, thanks.
That too.
But yeah, like I just like the thought process, like, oh, first date, would you like to meet on a bench?
I'm thinking of like my earliest date experiences. So it all went down in March. I'm trying to think. That summer things were like okay, but I wasn't really like swiping much. I remember meeting this guy in the park with a Destiny's Child tattoo on his foot.
What did it say? Survivor?
It said Destiny's Child.
Oh right. Shit. Okay, damn. Okay, fine.
Very random. Literally like it was one of those like, wow, it's the first nice day. Like it was like my friend's birthday in the park. Like you're just literally, you know, single people are like ravenous for attention and love. And just like, I remember flirting with some random guy and I don't even know. We were like exchanging numbers and that went nowhere. So I went back to the swiping and I don't think I went on a date properly until November of last year, which was the worst possible time to date. Cause that was like right before things were about to spike again. Yeah, and I remember there were still like, because that summer of 2020 it was like outdoor drinks, like everybody was like fucking around in New York, like shit was actually kind of fun like it was like weird. And then as soon as it started to get cold, that was like the darkest winter ever because it was just like second winter. Like, but I remember meeting this guy that I was talking to on Hinge. You know, we are sponsored by Bumble and Hinge and Tinder. We met, it was like they were still doing outdoor stuff, but it was getting cold. So it was like space heater. You know, we had a friggin' lamp heater. He brought me cookies. Like, it was weird. It was a weird couple dates that I went on with. This was Pizza Boy.
Oh, right.
We made pizzas, remember? That was we made pizzas and memories. And
now that I get relayed on a podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, I just remember being so awkward. Like, and then literally a week later, like, they shut down restaurants and bars again. So I was like, okay, I guess if I ever want to see you again, I just have to go to your apartment, which, you know, was cuffing. Everybody was, like, out here trying to just get somebody to smooch a little bit, you know.
Don't blame him.
But yeah, weird. Standards were low. Vibes were low. I kind of cut off your date. I was just thinking that would be my first, you know, my first stint back in New York dating scene before moving here.
But yeah, no, I think, like, dating in New York is, like, its own thing anyway, league of its own. But yeah, but then add the layer of you can only be outside till fucking 8 p.m. or some shit. Right. You know,
and
insane.
Then it's freezing.
Right. No, 100%.
You know, you were out of practice for a bit, but the general rule for first dates, you know, around here is, like, you know, you get that drink. You get one drink. And in that time, you couldn't even just get drinks. Like, everywhere you went, you also had to get food. So it's like, this is already turning into a, I don't know if they had the same, like, I can't remember if they had the same restrictions, but it was like, no, you can't just go to drink. You have to get some food too. So it's like, really escalating dates right into date two or three. You're making me eat in front of this guy right now. Like, damn, splitting some mozz sticks, you know, what are we getting into tonight? But yeah, so had your park bench date and then you have a boyfriend now. So your dating's
that's true.
Done.
But then, like, on our third date, so this is when things had, like, opened up a little bit more, like, restaurants were back, but there's still, like, social distancing, whatever. But, like, the weather was also really, really nice. And I remember on this date, right, we didn't book anywhere, which I feel like one thing that has definitely changed is the amount that people book restaurants. They're just out of the habit to book restaurants.
So much planning is required.
100%. Like, even, like, now, like, as I said, like, restrictions aren't there, but, like, still booking that restaurant anyway. So but we hadn't booked anywhere and we just, like, walked up this, like, fairly main street. We ended up, it was like an Italian, I don't want to say restaurant, like, I don't want to say, honestly, more cafe type thing, which I've lived in Bristol all my life. That was the first time that I went there. Probably never going back. But, like it was fine because they, like, squeezed us in, but, like, the place itself had, like, almost, if I say, like maybe like an awning out the front. So they had, because a lot of it was, like, outside seating, so they, like, pulled back the front of the shop front and they had this, like, awning, but then on the side they had, like, in front of, like, effectively, like, someone's driveway and, like, front door, put an extra table. So we were, like, literally sat, like, solid. What was basically, like, literally someone's driveway, but, like, also kind of a pavement. I was there, like, eating pizza with this dude,
trash can, like,
literally
rats,
like,
on the street. Yep.
You know, like, absolute alfresco dining to the max. Like, you, like, I know a lot of, like, businesses had to, like, adapt, but it was, like, very much one of those, like, this I'm not sat on the street eating a pizza basically.
Literally.
And I'm like,
yeah.
So, like, that's a unique experience to be like, yeah, date three, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I know. I remember this wasn't a date, but I remember, again, just New York pop-up. Like, there's already no space, but, like, we took every parking spot possible to just create all these pop-up tables and shit. And I remember this one place that I love, this, like, bar that has great food. They had this piss-poor outdoor setup that was literally, like, on the street with car. Like, I turned my head. There was, like, a slight awning or something. But then, like, you know, I basically could reach my hand into, like, the person's car that was driving past. Just, like, great scenery. Like you said, alfresco, taken to a whole new level. Dating in Philly has been different, but I don't know if that was partly just because of the year era of pandemic we're in. But, like, I went on a few dates when I first moved here in, like, August, and I don't know. I guess just, like, people were more used to, like, maybe more in practice, you know, than, like, previously. But also just the Philly boy is a lot different than the New York
how so?
Boy in New York. I mean, here it's like, I've explained this to a couple of you before. It's like hipster, but it's like all the dudes are, like, bro-y still, or, like, they like sports. You know, they all look the same. Like, every guy I've gone on a date with in Philly has had the same set of characteristics. Glasses.
Yeah.
Beard.
Yeah.
Flannel. done.
Oh, I see them.
Five of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
Five of them right there. Like, those were five dates I went on. And, like, to the point where this one guy that I went on a few dates with, I swear to God, I see him in the street, like, all the... I mean, it's a smaller city, much smaller city, but, like, I've had to, like, whip my head around, and I'm just like, is that you? Or is that, like, 1,000 guys that look exactly like you? I don't know. But, yeah, just a bit... I don't know. Again, like you said, dating in New York is, like, a whole just can of worms in and of itself that I feel like... My dates here have just been better, like, just generally, like,
okay,
cooler, more down-to-earth, but also, again, you're not finding that same level of, like... The genres are more mixed, you know? Like, you like a guy that likes the same music as you, well, he's probably going to also want to go to a baseball game or want to, like, go to a Sixers game. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, a little bit more that Philly hipster vibe. But I feel like I'm transitioning. You know, I bought a pair of Docs. I'm smoking American Spirits occasionally. Like, what am I doing? I'm just, like, I'm out here drinking IPAs. Like, that's... I'm really transitioning and changing.
Damn. You need to get you didn't see my
Docs?
Too.
You didn't see my Docs?
I think... Did They're you so put them cute. On your Instagram?
I did. They're so cute. I love them.
I love it. What size shoe are you? It's not going to make a difference to me.
I'm a baby. No, I'm a size 6, which I don't know if it's exactly the same.
It's not even small. Slightly.
No. So what size? 6 US. We might be like the same size.
Maybe. Hold
Honestly,
on.
The 6s are a little big on me too, which is weird because I'm usually a 6.5.
My question to you, yes. Sorry to cut you off there, is why are women's sizes and men's sizes different in shoes?
A great question. I have no idea.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Like, what if they're like a different size shoe? Like, if you take, like, for example, like Doc Martens, right? Like the black classic Doc Martin knows no gender.
Mm-hmm.
What that's always really confused me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, women need to have like smaller dainty feet, so our sizes are different than like men, and like, yeah, it's
no. I literally swear the US sexist. I mean, please don't quote me on this, but I'm fairly certain that's the only place I've known that to be the situation. I know nowhere else where shoes are. No, please do. Dear so, okay, so at gmail.com is a UK 4, and I would say I'm a 4.5, but I would always go bigger.
Same. So I'd be a 7. We are the same. We're the same. Because I'm usually a 6. Oh, is that for Docs, though?
Any shoe.
Or just in general. Any shoe. Yeah, because for these Docs, they are a little big on me, but... I usually am a 6.5, so that would be a 4.5. So we are
there.
We
it
are
is
twinnies. I'll be borrowing your shoes in Spain.
There we go. Get involved. I'm gonna bring the white boots.
Ooh, I need to go shopping. Anyway, let's. Do we have anything more to talk about? A breakup? Probably not. Kanye, Kim, want to talk about that?
I did. Lost I just think it's so fucked up. I just, yeah. It's like wild to me how. And, like, I appreciate that Kanye's got a lot of resources, a lot of yes men, I imagine, around him. But, like, how come, like, his record label didn't turn around and go, maybe you shouldn't make, like, a papier-mâché version of your ex-wife's new boyfriend and bury him? Like, maybe you shouldn't do that.
Maybe not, yeah.
You know, like, maybe there's, like, another, like, maybe just, like, maybe a bit more nuance. You know, maybe a few more layers there.
Interpretation.
Yeah, and I just think how... I mean, like, I guess this is, like, a different, you know, spin on things, but it's, like, why are we finding this funny? Like, why are people, like, thinking this is a joke? Like, I mean, I feel like I'm not a big Kardashian fan of any stretch of the imagination, but this poor woman's already, because she's in the limelight, I mean, did I just call Kim Kardashian a poor woman? But then that's the issue, right? Because it's like, she's got so much privilege in life, but like in this regard, like her ex-husband is literally needs evaluation because he is like, honestly, I really think he needs help. But it's like...
I mean, I don't know if he's diagnosed bipolar, but he might be. I don't remember. I haven't done enough research, honestly. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just like, it's embarrassing. Like she's already in the position where any breakup that she goes through is going to be like highly publicized, which I imagine is a completely different stress going through a breakup and like having to tell your friends and family rather than having to talk to E! News. But then to have your ex be Kanye fucking West and him
build like a house next to you.
Yeah, fucking wild. Start dating somebody else, but then would go on stage and be like, I want to, like, he would, like, change some lyrics to be like, I want to be with Kimberly.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what? Like, she can't start dating somebody else? I mean, we're literally
witnessing him just have, like, a mental health crisis on a public stage. I do feel that. Mm-hmm. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, it's unfortunate for her, you know, these life decisions that she made. She's got several kids with this man, you know.
Four,
like,
kids.
He's not going anywhere. You married him. You know, you should know how he is by now. Like, obviously, I'm not saying that he's not, like, harassing her, because it seems like it's pretty much what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just hard for me. Like, that family, I don't know. Like her specifically, her and her, like, they just, like, co-opt Black culture, and, like, they're part of it, and they, like, want to be part of it, and then it's just very complex. But I don't know. Obviously, she doesn't deserve to be harassed. Obviously, she doesn't deserve to be harassed. I just think it's hard for me to have sympathy for her. But I do.
That's the thing, because it's like, I just feel like that's almost like a whole other separate issue, you right. know?
No, it's true. The cultural, like, appropriation of her and her family. Mm. Yeah. No, that's true. They can be separated.
I don't think she's a saint by any stretch of the imagination, but, like, if he's doing this in public, what would he be doing behind, like, if, I mean, like, I've never looked at somebody, I've never looked at Kanye West and thought that he's, like, ashamed of anything. Like, he seems to be very, like, proud and comfortable in his own skin, as you should be, but, like, I just think, like, what is he doing behind closed doors? I think
the point of
this is what, like, he feels comfortable to do this in public. Right,
and what you're saying is, like, it's not funny. Like, we're making memes about it, we're making a joke. I mean, we'll make a joke about anything. People are fucking joking about Ukraine right now, like, right? It's not funny. There's no jokes to be had out of this. I did start watching his documentary on Netflix. I have not. I've only got through, like, the first half of the first episode, but I am interested. I mean, but also, to me, this was a publicity. Like, you did this on purpose. Like, you released this document, or I don't know if he released this documentary or who planned to release this documentary at the same time as, like, the Pete Davidson shit and, like, the breakup. Like, it's all happening at the same time, where it's, like, you're probably using this to promote. I mean, all of his, the whole thing that happened on Instagram, where I didn't even, like, look that into it, but him posting and then having to delete, like, everything he was saying, like, all this, like, pretty fucked up stuff. It just feels like a publicity stunt, you know. It feels like you're promoting something, or I'm sure there's some reasoning behind it, in addition to the fact that he is just ill, you know. Another celeb breakup but then makeup, Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet.
It was like a month they were broken up for.
Yeah, now they're back. They are back, and they full circle to the beginning of the pod. They didn't make a beautiful child, but she did make a beautiful child.
Yes.
With Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Zoe. Oh my gosh,
Zoe baby. Are Zoe and Robert Pattinson dating? Is that actually a thing, or am I making that up just because of Batman?
No idea. I mean, because that's the thing, like, you see, like, a lot of, like, press shoots where it's like them looking lustfully at one another, which, you know, both beautiful people, so why not, I guess. But right.
they have a lot of sexual tension.
But where's that acting? Are they dating? Give me the goods. Who are they dating?
I don't think so. Since his highly publicized relationship with Twilight co-star Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson's romance have been fairly private, understandably. He's currently dating model Sookie Waterhouse, and the two...
Oh, I did know that. I did know that.
So he's taken, whatever.
Do you know her name's really Alice?
Wow, why'd she hate Alice so much?
Her middle name is Sookie. Oh my god,
and I forgot he was engaged to FK Twit. After ending her marriage to Carl Glusman in 2021, Kravitz shocked the world when she started dating Channing. Oh, she's dating Channing Tatum? Aww.
What are you sad about that? When did Channing Tatum and Jessie J break up?
Or now we're just in a rabbit hole of celebrity.
Yeah.
Damn, some hot couples. Some hot couples, though, for sure.
Who's your favorite celebrity couple? Oh, they can still be together. Actually, give me one that's, like, potentially not still together and one that is together.
I'm not big on celebrity couples. Let me think. Well, I do. I mean, this is so corny and makes me sound like an 60-year-old woman, but I do love... I can't even think of his name. Oh, my God. Like, Goldie Hawn and Russell.
Oh, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. I think he's hot. I have an issue. I think they're a hot couple. I think they're a sweet couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what nice. About you? I don't know. I don't have a ton on top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, one that, like, they're no longer together. I mean, I think I enjoyed Amy Poehler and Will Arnett. They're like, oh, a fun couple. Oh my god,
I fucking hate Will Arnett. I have such an issue with Will Arnett. I don't know why. Like, I just have an issue with him. I don't know. Yeah. I can't explain it.
I mean, if you want,
but like, yeah, they're probably fun. They're probably like,
right,
probably so fun, you know.
I guess like more of a, like, if we're thinking like Twihard situation, probably like Alexis Bledel and Marta Ventimiglia, or Adam Brody, Rachel Bilson, because love them on screen.
Yes, yes. Well, I love an on-screen romance that translates off-screen as well, like Anna Paquin and Bill, what's his name, from True Blood. Like, they're married in real life. I'm like, yes.
I have no idea who these people are.
What? You've never seen True Blood?
I have not seen True Blood.
Damn, you don't want to see vampire porn? That's what True Blood is. Anyway, I think
from Twilight you moved on to harder stuff.
Yeah, I had to graduate after the, you know, the Mormons only gave me so much in that book. It was all left to the imagination in Twilight, you know. Barely got kisses out. We had to wait till marriage for any sex.
Oh my gosh. And then we had 50 Shades to rectify all that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Oh my god. Any parting thoughts, reflections on makeups and breakups? Quarantini edition.
I would fucking love to stop talking about coronavirus, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. That's my parting.
I know.
Like, it's even though that it's supposed to be all done, it's not all done.
Mm-mm. It's really not. It's really not. Like, the mask mandate actually just went down in Philly, like, a couple days ago, but people are still wearing masks. So I don't know what's, like, the rules are still not super clear to me, because I've just still been wearing, it's like I walk in wearing one, then if it's like, okay, but you know, 2 weeks ago we were checking vax cards everywhere, so it's like I just can't keep up with it. But yeah, unfortunately it's still here. Hopefully we'll be leaning into a delicate spring from COVID, but no rest for the weary in World War III, which I don't want to talk about at all. But yeah, we will try to have some brighter days ahead, and we will in Madrid. That is what I'm
that is true to. Absolute samesies. If there are any subjects you would like us to cover on our next podcast, dearbroadabroad@gmail.com, we'd love to hear from you. As always,
talk to you guys soon.
Cheers.
Next time we chat, we'll probably be in person.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Bye. Bye.